Okay. If this is going to sound a bit strange, but just follow my directions. If you'd like to lift up that folder or whatever it is you have and bring it as close to your face as possible, even almost to the point where it's touching your nose. And then think about what it is that you see. You probably don't move it about for the moment, just looking at it as it is. You probably find it's hard to see anything but the folder. That's better, Val. You don't have that picture in front of you now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Turn it around.
So what you're seeing, if you hold it up, Mona, so that you're looking at the folder, you've got, Mona, you've got the folder a bit low. Hold it up in front of your eyes. That's it. So you probably find that you don't see anything but the folder. Now, in this case, this represents our thoughts when we get too close to them and get caught up with them. The focus tends to be entirely on that thought and we can't see beyond it. So very slowly, move your folder slowly further away from your face. And as you do so, some details of your surroundings will become clear. And as that happens, it becomes clear that the object that was blocking your way is just a folder. And there's more than the folder. Keeping it up in front of your face, though, Jackie, that's it.
Yeah.
No, but taking it away, not moving it down, just taking it away the level that it is. The folder is still the same. It hasn't changed, but giving it that distance, it becomes recognizable and something of a certain size. And you're able to deal with that. It also brings perspective to all of the other things which are there beyond that single folder.
Yeah.
So if you think of the folder as the thought that's taking up all your consciousness and that you're becoming nothing but that one thought, distancing yourself from the thought, in this case the folder, puts things more into perspective and enables you to deal more efficiently and effectively whilst you're also aware of the important things that have been ignored. Does that make some sense?
Yeah. Gosh, how interesting.
When you get too close to a thought, it becomes all, you can put the folders down now, thanks. When you get too close to a thought, in this case the folder, it becomes the only thing that's there. It's fully taking up all your awareness. If you can distance yourself from that thought, in this case, the example is the folder, as you take it further and further away and distance yourself from it, other things came in from the side, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You start to see the other things. Your whole focus isn't on that folder. Once you get too close to the thought, too all consumed with it, you can't take in the other things. So taking yourself back from that thought, giving it some distance, is important. Everybody happy with that?
Yeah, in a way, it felt a little bit like there was the folder, and there was only the folder, and I could concentrate on that. Then as I moved it away, other things came in. It was like other thoughts were coming in.
Yes. Well, those might be things, if you think about it, those other things that started to come in might actually have been more important. Things that make you happier, things that are more important in your life. But if you're caught up in that one thing that becomes all consuming,
yes,
can't spend time on the other things.
Right, yes, I get that now, yes.
What you were saying, Val, is perfectly correct. Yes, you could see the other things coming in this example. Yeah. Those might be good things. They might actually be more important than that thing that's really sometimes you down because you're so consumed with it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to refer to a note so that I don't do anything that I'm not going to give you as a handout. So, what we're going to do is a bit of mindful movement. Does anybody have... I'm not going to do any fancy yoga or anything. That's beyond me anyway. But it's just gentle movement. Does anybody have any problems with arm joints or anything? or any steadiness?
No.
If you do, this is not meant to be a dramatic, really stretching exercise. Just do what you feel comfortable with. If at any time that you feel that something's aching a bit or it's you don't feel comfortable with it, stop doing that then. That goes when you're doing it on your own as well. If you have a balance issue, but all you'll be doing is standing and moving your arms. If you have a balance issue, if you have a chair nearby or something that you could lean on. Okay? Is everybody happy with that? Just do what you're comfortable with at all times. Don't do anything else. Okay, so I'm going to stand up. And you may have to stand up as well to do this. Can you still hear me okay?
Yep.
Fine. Okay. So what I would like you to do is move your arms. Just watch me first. Move your arms up and down. Don't do it yet. Just listen to what I'm saying. And on the up movement, if you breathe in, so you're moving up slowly, breathing in as you lift your arms, and then just breathing out as you slowly lower your arms. So it's regulating your breathing. So if you just follow me now, breathing in as you lift your arms up, and then breathing out as you lower your arms again, slowly. Just regulating the breathing. Breathing in, and then breathing out. Now it's recommended that you maybe do that 10 times or so, but just do it however many times is comfortable for you. It might be more than that, it could be less than that. The next one, if you can do this, is to raise your arms above your head and feel the stretch. This one's quite simple, just raising your arms above your head and feeling the stretch. And hold that position until you feel that it's you've had enough of that. Okay? So you keep holding it until you feel that you've had enough. As with all these exercises, be aware of your normal breathing at all times. Okay? Next one, what I would like you to do is to rotate, providing you've got no problems with your shoulders, rotate your shoulders in a forward motion. Remembering to breathe regularly at the same time. And having done that, reverse it and rotate them back the way. See if you can feel your breathing while you're doing this. Everybody all right with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be getting notes I'll send to Kirsten that will then be available that will remind you of this anyway. You'll have to try and remember it at the time.
Okay.
Next one, breathe in. Just watch me first. Breathing in as you raise your arms in front of you. Then breathe out as you open your arms to form a T. Breathe in as you bring your arms back together. And breathe out as you drop your arms down. Everybody get that? If you follow me now.
Yeah.
Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, and breathing out. So that was breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, and breathing out. Again, maybe repeating that 10 times yourselves. This is my favorite one. So watch me on this one as well. Having your hands together, you don't have to do it yet if you just watch me first, but I'll demonstrate. So your hands are like that, together, at about abdomen level. Okay, with the palms facing upwards and breathing in, pulling your hands up and then turning, facing the palms outwards and breathing out as you push away. Then reversing the palms again to face you and breathing in as they come back, and then facing your palms downwards and breathing out as you float your arms down. Okay? I'll say it again as we go through it. So if you try and follow me on this one now. So your palms facing upwards at about abdomen level. Breathe in as you pull up. Face your palms away. Breathe out. Face your palms towards you. Breathe in. Face your palms downwards and breathe out as you float your arms down. Just, excuse me, no good trying to be calm when you swallow the wrong way. Trying it again, palms upwards, abdomen, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. It's a nice gentle exercise. Palms upwards, breathing in, coming out, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Again, if you can do that maybe 10 times or just however many times it actually suits you. Everybody happy with those? You can sit down again now. Everybody find those comfortable enough to do?
Yes.
Swallowed the wrong way. I have to get more guided meditation. No, that's not a good thing. As I say, there will be notes on those anyway. The last one I actually find particularly useful because it's quite soothing and calming. And although you were following me there, if you do it at a breathing rate that suits you, okay? It's very gentle movement anyway. And it does help. You were saying that, Jackie, about slowing up your breathing, maybe doing it too fast. That's another thing that helps you regulate your rate of breathing. Okay, help slow it down. One thing that I can't do with you on Zoom, which you would normally do in a classroom situation, is walking meditation. I'll describe it and it will be there in the notes anyway. A lot of people find it, and you might find it particularly good, Jackie, because this is quite distracting. Actually, meditating as you're walking. So if you go for a fitness walk sometimes, or you can even do it inside the house, if you have a corridor or a room that would allow you to take, say, 8 steps, which is enough to do this. So what I would suggest you do, if you're doing it inside and you can take 8 steps, standing with your feet about hip width apart, and then gently taking the weight on one foot, then the other, until you get your correct balance. And maybe if your balance is up to it, rocking back slightly, backwards and forwards, to your heels and the balls of your feet. Finding your balance properly, and then very slowly taking a step forward. So feeling as you do so, how the muscles in your legs change. We do it automatically. And unless, like my wife, you've got arthritic knees, you're not necessarily aware of what you're doing all the time. But being well aware of how your weight changes when you lift your foot off the ground, and how it changes as you roll your foot down, doing it slowly, starting from the heel, and rolling your foot downwards. So I'm not talking about ordinary paced walking. What you have to do is think about how your muscles are operating all the time. So taking it very slowly, one step at a time, and feel how your weight changes in your body, get in tune with your body, how those muscles are moving, how the weight changes, the distribution. Or maybe only taking 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps in one direction, turning round, being aware of how your body reacts as you turn around slowly, and then taking the same number of steps back again, turning round and doing it again. The idea being that it helps you get in tune with your body and how you're moving, what your muscles are doing. It also acts as a distraction if you're taking your mind away from your thoughts. You're concentrating on what your body is doing all the time, how the muscles are reacting, how your balance changes. So being aware of that distracts your mind from the other thoughts that might be bouncing in. I would suggest that you also do it if you're walking outside. Not at that pace, because you'll get some very strange looks if there are people about and you're walking like that when you're outside, but doing it outside, being more aware of the contact that your feet have with the earth, any roughness that you feel in different things, if you're walking on pebbles and then walking on a smooth path or walking on grass, being aware of the differences, using your senses to take those things in. And also walking slowly enough, we'll come onto that a bit more next week, that you can use your senses while you're walking. Most of the time when we're moving and walking, I would think many of us are just concentrating on getting from A to B. Would that be the case with most of you? You're thinking about where you're going, not the process of getting there.
Yes.
Yes. If you can slow that down and try and take in the things that you're aware of or could be aware of as you're walking from one place to another. Now, in present circumstances, obviously, a lot of these things were written and developed pre-COVID. So we don't have the same opportunities necessarily that we would have had in the past. Although hopefully everybody's managing to do some exercise at some point. Mm. So taking in with your senses any smells that are there. If, as things go on anyway and we're more open to things, if you can think to when you're walking along a street with shops in it, where is your eye level most of the time? Where would you say? About?
Low down.
Looking at.
Low down, so you don't trip over things, or at your own height, so that you don't bump into people, or at shop window height.
Yeah.
What we tend never to do very much is to stop and look up. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
We tend to be thinking about avoiding things and just getting from where we are to where we are, particularly avoiding people in present times anyway.
Yeah.
But taking the time when that's possible to take a look up is probably not advisable if you're walking along staring up at the tops of buildings all the time, because then you will bump into things. It's not a good idea. But very often the interesting things are above our normal eye level.
Yeah.
Shops can look fairly uninteresting, but if you look up, some of the interesting things, the way the buildings are built, the skylines that you can see, are the things that are much more interesting in terms of what we perceive.
Yeah, because we don't see them often.
No, but we don't tend to look up that way.
No, that's right.
If you stand still and look up at the top of a building, you probably get a crowd around you wondering what it is you're staring at. I've done it. And it did used to get
such sheep.
Well, it's very odd the habits that we have. I used to teach body language as well, and one of the things I got students to experiment with was, if they were ever in a lift, well, most of us when we're in a lift will not make eye contact with people because you're too close.
Yeah.
So
right, yeah.
Look at the buttons that are there for pressing them, or look fixedly at the door. So what I suggested to the students as an experiment to try is, when you get in the lift, walk into the middle of the lift and stare at the back of the lift. People don't like that very much. If you start to
smile, what do you mean face the back and stare at it?
Face the back and stare at it. And if you start to smile while you're doing that, people will get off at the next stop.
You've got such a good sense of humour, Phil. I can just picture a few of these things. So funny.
It's trouble advising students to try that out as an experiment. Okay. what I'll be giving you now is some things that you can do to kind of make things a bit easier sometimes. There's a
process. Oh, yes, please.
Well, as with all of these things, Jackie, practice makes perfect as well. Yeah. This one doesn't take much practice. It's called a stop process. I don't know if you may have ever come across that before. It's something that's reasonably famous, and STOP is an acronym anyway. And it's when you might feel that you're getting too caught up in something or too stressed out about something to actually stop what you're doing. So stop what you're doing if that's bothering you and winding you up. So you actually make an effort to stop that entirely. Don't do it for that moment, unless it's something that you really just have to get through at that time. But if it's something that's bothering you, just stop. Take a few measured breaths, Jackie, and maybe even use the finger thing then. But just taking a minute to breathe, just normally and naturally, with the breath coming in and out of your nose. And you can even say to yourself as you're breathing in and out, actually, just in your head, breathe in, breathe out, just slowing things up. Okay. The second part, that's S and T, stop, take time to take a minute to yourself to ease down. Then the O is to observe what's around you. Observe what you're feeling, what your thoughts are, what your body's doing, remember, early on, I spoke about the connection between your mind and your physical body, how your mind and body interact very closely. So that if you're relaxing your body, you can also help to relax your mind. Mm. And vice versa, if you're relaxing your mind, you can help to relax your body. Mm. Now, if we're tense or anxious or stressed about things, we automatically go into a body situation that actually magnifies that feeling of anxiety or stress or whatever. So if you can make yourself, which is what all these body exercises are about, make yourself aware of that mind-body connection. So if you feel tense or anxious or stressed, think about what your shoulders are doing, what your neck's doing, what your position is. So that if your shoulders are hunched up and tense, relaxing them actually has that effect of helping to relax your mind and your thoughts. So observing what your thoughts are, what's around you, what your physical circumstances are, and what your body is doing is very important. So that's the O part. And the P is then just to proceed. Now that proceed might be to take some time to do something that you would enjoy. I mean, you can't just nip round to a friend's in present time and have a talk about it, but being online with somebody, or even giving somebody a phone call that you haven't spoken to for a while, or even something as simple as just taking that time and having a cup of tea or coffee. So that is the process, S-T-O-P, stopping what you're doing, taking a few deep breaths, observing what's happening with your body, adjusting that if necessary, relaxing your body to help relax your mind, and then taking something to help you move on, something that you might enjoy, something that just takes you away from the moment. Everybody okay with that? Okay. Again, you'll be getting a note on that. So what I would like to, this is slight revision because some of the things we've done, but again, these are anxiety interventions, I've called them. Just spoken about the first one, the body and mind connections, making sure that you're aware of your body. We're not very conscious of what we're doing a lot of the time, that our body is hunched up, that we've the tension that we have in our body when our minds feel tense. or when we're anticipating something that we're not looking forward to. If you can relax your body, it makes a huge amount of difference to the way you actually physically feel and mentally feel.
Mm.
And taking those few deep breaths are good. The finger breathing is on that sheet again as well, which helps as an anxiety intervention. And there's something which I haven't suggested. This isn't really mindfulness. It's an adapted part of what is called emotional freedom technique. Has anybody ever come across that before?
No.
You have, Kirsten. You're nodding. It's sometimes called tapping.
All right.
Tapping is a broad name for it.
I wouldn't
suggest that you go through the whole routine, because if you felt a bit tense, again, it's about as bad as looking up at the tops of buildings if you're in with other people. But there's because going through the whole routine means it's quite obvious what you're doing. But there are two areas which you can tap, which can actually help you relax. Again, it's a distraction, but it's also an acupressure point, or they are acupressure points, and they can be done quite discreetly without people wondering what on earth it is you're doing. Now, I know that you can't see this well, but I could see that you were doing one of them there anyway.
All right.
One of them is called the karate chop point. It's that fleshy part of your hand, the outside of your hand.
So
tapping on that can be distracting. It's also producing an effect through the acupressure point that's there. So just that can be done without holding it up and showing that you're doing it, and just tapping gently on that. The other one, which you can do very discreetly, is that area between the ring finger and the pinky. There's a sort of V shape just in there, just between those two joints and behind them. Everybody found it? It's that bit there. So tapping on that bit, which is called, is irrelevant, but it happens to be called the gamut point. Tapping on that, not so that you would bruise yourself, but tapping so that you can feel the tap. So both of those, either that one or that one, can act as anxiety interventions as well. So if you don't want to go through the finger process, that might be an alternative you could use.
And either side, is it, Phil? Either side, either hand.
Either hand, it doesn't matter. Whichever hand you're comfortable with. I just automatically do it because I'm so right-handed anyway.
Yeah.
I would tap on. Okay. I have to say, I have used that when I was in a plane that had serious turbulence. I'm not the best flyer in the world anyway, but I did use that, just sitting there doing that. I have used the same thing on stressful situations as well, which has helped me. So it's something that I've found has worked. I have done the whole tapping process, but not in public. It's not something. You're looking very puzzled. What it is going through a whole series of points. So if you're tapping on those one at a time, then it's a bit obvious what you're doing. Better done on your own. Yeah. That's not part of this program anyway. Okay. And repeating that as often as you like. You can actually say something while you're doing it. Even though I feel anxious, I completely and totally accept myself. So you can say that to yourself in your head as you're doing it. So some phrase that you feel would help you relax, pick your own. It doesn't have to be that one. It doesn't matter. And as I said before, listening to your body, what it's telling you. When you're tense, your body will reflect that. Put your body physically in a relaxed position, and it helps relax your mind. Okay? All of these I'll be sending to Kirsten anyway. sure of time. Have you come across the phrase positive affirmations before? I'm looking towards you, Kirsty, because I can see your head nodding. Anybody else come across that?
Not sure. I seem to think I have. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They are just what it says. It's saying something positive and repeating that. So, for example, one of the things to explain first is the brain doesn't cope with negatives. Have you been aware of that?
Yeah.
If you have had children, if you brought up children, if you say "don't do that," does it work?
No.
If you say "why don't you do something else," that's more likely to have a better response.
Yeah. Yes.
Being negative only reinforces sometimes
something
that we want to avoid. So, for example, if I say to you, "Don't think of a giraffe for the next 5 seconds. Don't think of a giraffe."
Immediately you can see a giraffe.
How many of you managed not to think of a giraffe? It's almost impossible.
Mm.
So that negative has absolutely no effect at all. So
that's clever, yeah.
If it said, "Think of an elephant instead of a giraffe," do you manage to think of the elephant? The giraffes may be there in the background.
Yes, it is.
But positive affirmations have much more of an effect than telling yourself, "I shouldn't be doing that." For example, Jackie, if you were saying to yourself, "I shouldn't be having these thoughts when I'm trying to meditate," that's only going to reinforce it. Or "don't think of that" reinforces it.
Mm.
Thinking, "I should think..." Saying something like, "I should think of my breathing," is better than saying, "don't think of these thoughts."
Mm-hmm.
So being positive about it has a much more, it's much more efficient than being.
Yeah.
That all makes sense. So you can you can use anything, and using those things helps bring about a more positive attitude as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every
day and every way, I'm getting better and better.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I feel good. I feel healthy.
That was one of the well-known earlier ones. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
People were encouraged to say that to themselves all the time.
I used to say it years ago, yes. Every day, yeah.
Right. If you said to yourself, "I mustn't think of that," that's not going to be as efficient as saying, say something like, "My mindfulness skills are improving."
Oh,
positive. So having those positive affirmations are more beneficial than the negative thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Phil, my battery was just conking out.
All right, it's all right. You still there? Oh. Gone.
Jackie?
No, a battery was going well, so...
Oh, dear. Okay.
So maybe manage to plug it in and come back, I hope.
Yeah.
What I would like to do is, before I do the guided meditation, is to read a poem, which I'll give you a copy of as well. It's a poem called "Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters." Has anybody ever heard of that poem before?
No. Who's it by?
It's by Portia Nelson. Again, I'll be sending a copy of it to Kirstine anyway.
Oh.
So it's, if, listen to it, the, what you think is the background meaning behind it. It's not a super complicated poem, but I'll ask you what, it's not a test, but I'll ask you if you got anything from it after I've finished, okay?
Yeah.
"I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I fall in. I am lost. I am hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the pavement. I walk around it. I walk down another street.
I can't believe it. I read that just before. I read that in this folder that I've got just before I switched on the video.
Really?
Yeah.
That exact poem.
Exact same one. Exact. Oh, and weird. I must ask you about it because I didn't really get it fully. So I was going to ask you to explain it a bit.
Well, I'm certainly not claiming to have any ESP facility that I put that in your head and you read it beforehand. Well,
that's extraordinary. Absolutely extraordinary. I've got a copy of it here.
It's really quite weird.
Yeah.
Did any of you get what was meant by that?
Making the same mistake all the time.
Yeah. Just contain first issue is an accident, doing something. Second one is doing it over, just accepting it for what it is, pretending that it's not there. Third one, accepting it. It's a habit that's become ingrained anyway. So remember when I was talking about pathways, neural pathways? Yeah. Just doing the same things over and over again in the same way. Then eventually walking down the same street and walking around it. So actually making a conscious effort to avoid it, but it's still there in the background. And then accepting that this isn't working, it's not a good idea, and taking a different direction altogether. Yeah. Now, not talking about the physical walking down someplace, but talking about doing things that become ingrained, some things that are possibly negative, but you do them over.
Oh, yes.
That's just right. What you do. And you accept that that's what you do. And then maybe it just becomes that you take avoiding action, which isn't really particularly good.
Yeah.
As opposed to taking an entirely different thing. Changing it so that you remove that thing which has become quite ingrained, but you do something else that's more positive instead. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, Randy, you're back.
Sorry.
It's all right. No.
Sorry, my battery died at the, can you believe it, at the last minute there. I do apologize.
Not at all, no.
Technology.
Well, believe me, before Kirsten gave me assistance, I had a day and a bit where my head wasn't really working for anything else. I was down the wrong pathway with that. I had to change it entirely. Thankfully, Kirsten pointed up a different street, so it worked very well.
That's incredible.
That's a poem that I just read, Jackie, which there'll be a copy of anyway. It's about partly about not getting too ingrained in just going the same way when that is actually having quite a negative effect.
Detrimental, yes.
Oh, nice.
I have to say, having found that poem, I bought her book. It's the best poem in the book, as far as I'm concerned. Find the rest.
I still can't get over the fact that I've just read it.
No, that's really quite weird.
Absolutely weird. Yeah.
Okay. I'll do. I'll get my sound effects sorted out. What I'll do is probably. Is this perfectly clear today? No interruptions.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. So I'll put you on mute while I do the guided meditation. What I'll do is I'm actually going to do another one, which I would have done this weekend as I promised Kirsten, so as a supplementary one for the one we missed on, but my voice was actually a bit croaky over the weekend, so I decided to leave it until today or tomorrow, but I'll have another one that I'll send out to you, Kirstine, and this one will be on the recording anyway. Sorry, I don't know if you see everybody set out the way that I see them, but if I happen to be looking up to the top right of the screen, you're aware that I'm trying to keep eye contact with different people at different times. I saw you smile there, Gillian. I was looking specifically at you. So looking around, it's because I'm trying to look at different people at different times anyway. Okay. Right. If you get yourselves comfortable and just sort about so that you're completely relaxed. So I don't know if you, is that better, Gillian? You looked as if you were leaning very forward. Everybody very relaxed now in terms of their seating position? If you feel very comfortable like that, Morna, that's fine. But I would suggest that in terms of having your body relaxed, you don't have anything crossed. That's one of the things I was talking about. If you've got, if I were sitting in front of you, I would have demonstrated this already. But if I was sitting like that, presenting to you, how comfortable am I in this presentation? Even if you can't see the lower half of my body, the fact that I've got my chin down, I've got my arms folded, I'm right back in the chair. All of those things, and my legs would have been extended and crossed as well at the ankles. All of those things are putting up barriers. So anything that is crossed, folded, is not necessarily a good thing when you're doing meditation. So try not to have that. If you're giving a presentation, it's even worse. So I only use it as a negative thing when I was giving presentations to groups of people live. It doesn't work so well when all you can see is my unfortunate face, which in actual fact is operating about a second slower than I'm physically doing it. It's quite odd seeing a delay on screen of what you're doing physically. Okay, so if you are relaxed and sitting as comfortably as you wish to be, and closing over your eyes and taking 3 deep breaths. And just relaxing back into that. And now you find yourself at the top of a country lane. Very gentle slope on this lane with trees overarching on the left-hand side and a dry stone wall on the right-hand side. And as you walk down this country lane, just enjoying this beautiful, warm summer's day and the bright patterns that the sunshine's making as it shines through the branches and leaves of the trees. And walking on down, just enjoying this sunshine, you can see a stile on the dry stone wall. There's a handrail on the stile, and taking the 2 steps up, you stand on top of the stile and just look out over a beautiful meadow. The bright colours of the wildflowers growing in amongst the warm grass. The grass is long, hasn't been cut for some time. And stepping down off the stile and walking through this meadow, trailing your fingers through that grass as you walk, paying attention to the colours that are there. You can see a wood not too far away, with a very ancient oak tree standing on its own just in front of this wood. And walking towards the oak tree and looking at it, you can see that the roots have a space in them, just ideal for you to sit down on. These roots have moss growing and grass growing in there. It looks very comfortable to sit down. And sitting down between these roots and leaning back on the strength of that old oak tree, just enjoying the warmth of the sun on your face. Such a beautiful summer's day as you sit there and realizing that you can move that warmth. You can move it around to your surprise. And moving that warmth and the relaxation that it brings onto the top of your head. And feeling that warmth relaxing the muscles on your scalp. And moving it slowly down onto your forehead, easing the muscles there, feeling them get more and more relaxed. And down to that space between your eyebrows, easing away any tension that's there. And moving it to your eyes now. All those small muscles around your eyes, just relaxing them. Maybe you're aware of gentle movements of your eyes behind your closed eyelids. Moving that warmth on now to your cheeks and your nose. Feeling them relax, the muscles of your cheeks flatten out and relax. And being aware of that breath as it goes in and out of your nose. And moving it down now around your mouth, the muscles around your mouth. Easing and relaxing them more and more. Allowing your tongue to drop to the floor of your mouth. And relaxing your jaw muscles. Maybe allowing your teeth to separate slightly as your jaw muscles relax. Your whole head feeling more and more deeply relaxed now. As you move that warmth now onto your throat and neck. Being aware of small movements of the muscles as you swallow and allowing the warmth to flow down through to your neck muscles at the back where tension often lies and feeling that warmth ease away any tension, just relaxing those muscles as the warmth flows into your shoulders, allowing your shoulders to droop as they feel more and more relaxed. And down into your upper arms, and onto your forearms, feeling as if you can almost hold that deeply relaxing warmth in the palms of your hands, as it then flows all the way to your fingertips. Your arms may be feeling heavier now, as they completely relax, moving the warmth back to your body, to your chest and abdomen. Feeling all the muscles there relax, being aware of the gentle movements of your muscles as you breathe in and out. Allowing that warmth to flow down through to your back muscles, those large muscles of the back, becoming more and more relaxed as the warmth moves down to your hips now. Allowing those muscles to relax as you sink deeper into the comfort of where you're sitting. And onto your thighs, to the tops of your thighs. And allowing that warmth to flow down to the backs of your thighs. Your muscles feeling so deeply relaxed. Relaxed and as loose as elastic bands. As the warmth moves into your calves. And along into your shins. Your whole legs being completely relaxed. As it goes down all the way to your feet, to your heels, along the soles of your feet, the tops of your feet, and all the way to the tips of your toes, your whole body feeling totally and completely relaxed. As you sit here in the comfort between the roots of the tree, leaning back against the tree and feeling that warmth on your body as you take a moment or two just to listen to the bird song and the country noises around about in that comfortable, deep relaxation. Getting up now, and walking around the oak tree, trailing your fingers across the bark, and looking at the different colours that you've never noticed on bark before. Greys, browns, trailing your fingers, feeling the different textures that are there. The roughness in parts, and the soft, fuzzy feeling where bits of moss have grown on the bark. And as you walk round the tree, feeling the warmth of the summer's day on your body, you notice a handle in the trunk of the tree. Surprised at this handle, you walk up closer and see that there is a door into the middle of the tree. And turning the handle, you open the door. It creaks as you open the door. And looking inside, you can see a staircase spiraling down inside the tree. It's well lit in here, and you can see the details. There's a handrail around the spiral staircase, and in a moment, you put your hand on that banister, feeling the solid wood underneath your hand, and walking down those stairs. And with each step you take, you can find yourself becoming deeper and deeper absorbed in deep relaxation, and you can find yourself going 1/10 deeper, absorbed in deep relaxation, with each count I make from 10 down to 1. And on the count of 1, you'll find yourself at the bottom of those stairs and at a door. 10, beginning to walk down those stairs, becoming more and more absorbed in deep relaxation. 9, curious about what will be through the door at the foot of these stairs. 8, being aware of what each step feels like, and I wonder what you can see, hear and feel as you walk deeper and deeper. 7, becoming more relaxed with each step you take. 6, allow relaxation to continue to spread comfortably through your mind and body as you listen to me counting down. 5, halfway to the bottom now, yet still unable to clearly see the door down there. 4, perhaps noticing a heaviness in your body as you relax even deeper. 3, almost at the bottom now, and I wonder whether you can notice the door down there and what it looks like to you. 2, stillness can begin to appear through your mind and body. And 1, finding yourself facing a door to a land of peace and deep relaxation. And I don't know whether you might take 1, 2, or maybe even 3 relaxing breaths before you open and step through that door and discover deep relaxation on the other side. Opening the door now and walking through, you find yourself on a path walking through a woodland. There's a stream through the path, through the woodland, that twists and bends. The path follows along the twists and bends of the stream. And walking through the woodland now, enjoying the scents of the country, the calm of this woodland, the sense of peace that you get from walking here, the gentle noise of the stream as you walk along, just the gentle noise of the stream in the background. Following these twists and turns, the wood starts to thin out a bit now as you walk along. And coming to the edge of the wood, you can see a bridge over the stream. And walking onto that bridge, halfway, it's a solid wooden bridge, very old. And you lean on the railing at the side of the bridge, looking down into the stream. beautiful clear water in the stream. And just looking down into that stream, seeing the weeds at the bottom of the stream, swaying gently from side to side in the current, and the occasional fish gently having to wave its tail to stay stationary in the water. Beautiful clear water and just the gentle noise of the stream. I'm walking over the bridge now to the other side. Walking through the grass of a well-cut meadow this time. You can see a cottage not too far away. And walking towards that cottage, you know that you should go into the garden of the cottage. So opening the gate, which opens with a click, you walk into a wonderful country garden. Traditional flowers here of the country garden. Wonderful smells. Heavy smells of honeysuckle and roses. And walking round to the back of this cottage, an old thatched cottage. To your surprise, you find yourself in a small courtyard with lemon trees growing in big planters on this courtyard. And walking round the courtyard, smelling that fresh, bright smell of lemons. Very refreshing smell. Beautiful smell. And walking back round the side of the house again now, to the front of the house, and walking up to the door. The door's painted green, and it's been painted quite some time ago, with odd bits of paint peeling off with age. There's a climbing rose surrounding the door, and on the door is a metal handle. And putting your hand on that handle, feeling the cool metal underneath your fingers, you turn the handle and walk inside the cottage. There's a fire on in the beautiful fireplace in the cottage. Big stone fireplace, which reflects the country feel of this cottage. And to your surprise, somebody must have been there a short while ago, because there's a strong smell of baking bread. There are candles set into alcoves in the cottage, which give a lovely, comfortable light. And walking round this room that you're in the cottage, taking note of the details that are there, the wooden beams in the ceiling, that strong-looking stone fireplace, the fairly rough walls of the cottage, the alcoves with the candles in them. Facing the fire is a big old leather armchair. And walking towards that armchair, putting your hands on the back of the armchair, feeling that soft old leather give way beneath your fingertips. And walking around the armchair now and sitting down, feeling it give way gently beneath you, so relaxing as it enfolds you in its softness. Just a beautiful old lounge armchair, soft, soft leather, which is facing a fire. As you sit there, feeling the softness of the leather enfold you, so comfortable, looking into the fire and enjoying the flames that crackle amongst the logs of the fire. The yellows, reds and golds of those small flames and the gentle crackling noise of the logs in the fireplace. And what I would like you to do now is to think of anything you would like to remove. Think of them one at a time. Give them a name or a phrase that will describe it. And as you breathe out, visualize your breath as a small white cloud appearing in front of you. Put the word or the phrase of whatever it is you want to get rid of inside that cloud and watch as it gets sucked in towards the fire and sucked up the chimney, and it's gone. Just one at a time, feeling so relaxed here, thinking of anything you want to remove, any feeling, thought, anything you wish to get rid of. One at a time, put them in that small cloud of your breath and watch as they get sucked up the chimney and they're gone. Such a comfortable place of soothing peace and calm. Just knowing that you can return to this place anytime you feel the need. This place of calm, quiet relaxation. And in your own time now, coming back to the room that you're in, feeling relaxed but refreshed. Relaxed but refreshed as you come back into your own room. And when you come back, I'd like you to look at two things in your room. Any two things. Just be aware of them. Looking at those two things in your room. Doesn't matter what they are.